Night Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio, starring the amazingly awesome and talented Karen Frazier and some other guy.
Once a year, I gotta get my name first in the credits, Rick.
Yeah, I know. Definitely. Yeah, the amazing and talented Karen Frazier and some other guy, that's totally okay. But, you know, it's Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you're exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am the totally awesome and rad Rick Hale. And this is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com, and welcome.
Welcome. So, 15 minutes late, but by golly, we just, you know, I got to tell you, Cheryl is, she's like the Energizer Bunny. She just keeps trying and trying and trying until we finally get on the air, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, I probably would have given up a long time ago and be like, I'm going to go.
I know. Well, you should. Now, but it's probably a really good thing that what we're saying while we're having these technical difficulties never hits the air because, you know,
are amazing.
We sound just as angry as that piano music just was.
Yeah, the cuss words that fly out of our mouths is amazing. I mean, we're cursing everything from the weather to bandwidth and, you know, Skype is just, you know, run by the devil or my mom. Anyways, it's the same thing, but, you know, it's, yeah.
So, Rick, what do we have for our listeners this evening?
Well, tonight we have a really good show lined up for you guys. Tonight joining us is going to be Kimberly Brulette and Chris Matheny of the Research Institute of the Paranormal, as well as looking into... Oh, I'm sorry. What Lies Beyond? Excuse me. We were just like on Paravision. So, I mean, that's... Sorry about that, guys. That's what I was just thinking. So, yeah, they're going to be joining us tonight. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that they got going on, their group and their web-based television show, as well as they have a bunch of EVPs for us to listen to tonight, Karen.
Sweet! So Smackdown!
This may be the cage match we have all been waiting for.
Well, so you know, not to handicap things in your direction or anything, but anybody who is privy to my Facebook page knows that I have spent the last 3 days trying to pass a kidney stone. Yeah, I do that about once every couple of years. I feel like it's been too long since I've re-experienced the pain of childbirth. And so I develop a kidney stone and try to pass it. And this is my time. The last one hung around for 6 months, and this one's not going to do that. So, that could sort of handicap the competition. So if you're putting down bets, I would put them down on Rick Hale. That's right.
But you know what? I seem to remember the last time that you had them that you were pretty, like, you were high as a kite on many of them.
I'm not on pain medication today, to tell you the truth. It's without getting too graphic, it's dropped down into a much better location and will be out of me very soon. As soon as I drink some cranberry juice and lots of water, it's that baby's going to be gone. So there you go.
Gross. Yeah. Nice. Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, I know. Wasn't that awesome? Hey, I could send you my kidney stone from last time. It was inside my body for at least 6 months. Would you like it?
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was going to mail it to you otherwise because, you know, hey, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to our guest here in just a couple of minutes. We sort of wasted a lot of our top of our hour, as we usually do, but I wanted to mention a few things before we get too far. First of all, I would like to thank Paravisions and Looking Into the Unknown for having Rick and I on their fantastic radio show earlier. Their show is right before ours here on Z-Talk Radio. So if you're a Paranormal Underground listener and you want to listen to some good radio, tune in before our show and listen to Looking Into the Unknown with the dudes from Paravisions.
And the dudette.
And the dudette. That's right. She's very quiet, though.
Yeah, she seemed to be very reserved. I mean, usually I've listened to the show in the past, and it's like, my God, she cannot shut up.
Oh, well, somebody...
Just joking, Patty.
So, excuse me. The other thing I wanted to mention, well, I've got several things. So this coming weekend, I will be participating at a kids' ghost camp in Port Gamble, Washington. And I know that there are a lot of people who have really strong opinions about whether kids should be involved in the paranormal or not. I have at times been one of those people, but what I have decided is that they're going to do it whether we want them to or not. So we might as well teach them the right way to do it.
I mean, are you kidding me? I was traipsing around allegedly haunted buildings and cemeteries when I was like 9 years old. So it's
yes, kinda... and look how you turned out.
Exactly. I'm totally normal by now. But yeah, it's like I would feel like a hypocrite. I'd be like, no, man, kids should not be doing this kind of thing, because it's like when I was 8, 9 years old, I was. So, you know.
Exactly. So, and then also, let me see. Also coming up in October, on October 13th, I will be speaking at the Port Gamble Ghost Conference, which is also in Port Gamble, Washington, which is a really neat entire haunted town in Kitsap mm-hmm. County, Washington. It's on the Olympic Peninsula. And my good friend William Becker, who we've talked to on the show frequently.
William Becker is one of my favorite guests. I love talking
to him. I love William. And he will be speaking right after me. So that's on October 13th. Also, and Cheryl can pop in with this one, we have just released the iBook version of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington. Is it $2.99, Cheryl?
Yes, it is, on Kindle.
It's $2.99 on Kindle, and it's $2.99 on iBooks.
Yes, and the revised regular book on Amazon or wherever you want to go to get it online is $9.99.
Is it out now?
Oh, you know what? It probably won't be out for another week.
Karen, you just sounded like a little kid right there. You're like, is it out yet?
Well, sorry.
So that's because I have to order some for some appearances.
So probably another week.
So those are things that I have coming up or that are happening right now. So here's what I like about, if you have an iPad, the iBook version of Avalanche of Spirits. It has EVPs. It has videos. It's very cool. It's only formatted for iPad.
You know, Karen, you always just have so much more. It's like I come on the show and it's like, I got nothing to talk about.
Oh, I have more than that. I was, like I was saying on the radio show with the guys before, I have something virtually every weekend between now and Halloween. And this is just the busy time. And, you know, I'm pretty involved in the local paranormal community. And I get around. I get out and do stuff.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Very cool. So what are we going to, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And even though we're a little bit late tonight getting to things, but when we come back, we're going to be talking to Kimberly Brulette as well as Chris Matheny, and we'll be talking about what they're up to at this time. So this is Paranormal Underground at ztalkradio.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal TV Show.
Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal Show.
You wear your beans with pride and your t-shirt three sizes too small, even though you have the body of a 98-pound video game nerd. Every location you visit may have a gift shop and thousands of visitors, but somehow you still get possessed by something evil.
You're dragging me straight to hell.
It may look like a bug to the rest of the world, but to you it's a demonic orb, and it wants to eat your soul. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Overly Dramatic. Your acting may not be all that great, but But you sure look awesome every time you see yourself in the mirror.
It's the guy who wants his own paranormal show.
Budweiser Beer, Anheuser Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. I am Karen Fraser. With me, as always, Rick Hale.
Good evening.
So that's all he has to say.
That's all I got to say. You know, like I was saying before, sorry guys, my the chlortrimeton that I had taken earlier is beginning to wear off. So if I start to have like that sexy cold sounding voice, it's just my
very nice.
So Karen, who do we got going on for us tonight?
Well, so we have been joined for our guests. Oh my God, sorry. We have been joined by our guests. We have Kimberly Briolette and Brulette and Chris, is it Matheny? Is that right?
That's it, yeah.
Yay! From What Lies Beyond. And you guys are here to talk about all sorts of things, including RIP, I understand, which is the Research Institute of the Paranormal. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio, guys.
Yeah, thank
welcome.
You.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, yes. So Chris has a cold too, I hear.
Yeah, he's been a little bit, he's been out of it today a little bit.
Well, our friends on Facebook will know that we moved into a larger residence so that we could expand our operation and, you know, and I spent 9 days doing a lot of moving, and I think I ran myself into the ground, and now I'm sick.
Well, and it rained the past 3 days, so I don't think that helped.
Oh my gosh, we haven't had any rain here in so long. I'm ready.
Oh my God, it is like, okay, after 3 days, you're like, okay, I'm tired of soup.
Well, I live just south of Seattle. So 3 days of rain, now you guys are wimps. That's all I'm going to say. 3 days of rain is nothing. Nothing.
Well, here in
Northern Italy, when you ride a motorcycle like me, 3 days of rain is torture.
Oh, I bet.
I know it's so, like here in Northern Illinois, we went through about the entire month of June and July without any rain whatsoever, not even so much as a drop, but August rolls around, and it just, you know, just rains almost nonstop.
Yeah, I don't think it's rained since July here. Mm. So you guys got our rain, and we have dry weather. There you go. So you guys moved into a bigger place, and I hear that you're hoping it's haunted.
Well, let me put it this way. Chris draws them, and he kind of comes with his own. So it's just a matter of when.
I see. So they just follow you around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
They do.
I'm not going to be all that eloquent tonight, everybody. I'm really...
But basically...
I drank enough cough syrup to make it interesting.
Well, basically...
Are you going to start hallucinating here soon, too?
That'd be awesome. Do that.
It's like a Rob Zombie video all of a sudden.
I'll just start talking in everybody else's voice.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that'll be really cool. I can't wait.
Well, basically, since he was 5 years old, he's had a spirit.
See, when I was five, I saw my first ghost, and I didn't know anything about the paranormal world or what a ghost was or any of that.
Well, you were five, so yeah. You know, that's understandable. What was wrong with you? You didn't know at five?
Yeah, I...
I'm teasing.
Well, see, I kind of died at birth. I was wrapped in the umbilical cord, and I was in intensive care and all that stuff. And I kind of think that maybe that made my, I maybe crossed over a little bit and came back, and that kind of brought me to their attention. Like I opened a little bit of a pinhole.
You're not the first person to say that, though. I've heard of many people who have had near-death experiences that come back having some kind of psychic ability.
That's true. That's actually fairly common, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see Kim on our bio had written that I have a psychic ability, which I've done things and like I've read her mind. You know, I got her computer passwords and I was like, I didn't use them. I was like, you know, does this word mean anything to you? And you know, her face broke and she's like, oh my God, how did you get that? So she changed it and then I asked her, well, what about this? And she's like, ah.
Hey, dude, don't be ashamed, man. There's nothing wrong with having a psychic ability, unlike what we've been told for the last 10 years, you know? Nothing wrong with it.
I don't have any kind of control. I don't predict people's futures or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I have no better chance of seeing a ghost than anyone else, except for the fact that I put myself into situations where I'm more likely to encounter them.
Sure.
But also, I think I draw them like a moth to a flame, because as a child, starting at five, I use the word tormented because that's what they did. They tormented me on a nightly basis, almost nightly. I did begin to notice after time that it was kind of cyclical. It came and went in waves of activity.
Mm-hmm. And well, we did notice that after we moved in together that they would do that.
Well, Chris, I mean, how did they present themselves to you?
Well, it always happened at night, and honestly, it's kind of a funny story. I had a child's imagination, and I had drapes in my room, and I thought that the drapes, the shadow that they cast on the ceiling, looked like Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble.
It would scare the hell out of me because I'm more of a Jetsons guy, you know.
Well, they got that spiky, you know, that weird.
Thought Elroy was a jerk. I didn't care for him.
little douchebag. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, but I thought they looked like Fred and Barney, and then one night they started talking. Mm-hmm. Now, I never could understand what was being said, and eventually it was like a multitude of voices trying to talk over each other, and it was always very insistent, like they were trying to get my attention, but I could never understand what any of them were saying. And, you know, I did begin to question myself, is this, you know, me, or is it the world around me? But there is something that actually it's a trait that I still carry to this day. When I was a kid, the only way I could get to sleep was I would bury one ear in the pillow and put my bicep over my head, my arm over, and plug my ear with my bicep. And I still to this day sleep like that because it was the only way I could drown the voices out. So that told me there that it wasn't in my head. And that's how I was able to hold on to my sanity.
Well, also, his brother, his little brother, Rose the Soul, was talked in his sleep.
Yeah, my little brother talked in his sleep a lot. And I used to do the brotherly thing and get him to admit dumb stuff. But he would try to answer. You know, I'd hear him saying something like, what'd you say? What was that? Mm-hmm. You know, and he would try to answer them, but he couldn't make out what they were saying either. So he could hear them, but he passed away 6 years ago. So I don't.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
But the point was that he would hear them, and while he was sleeping, he would sleep talk to them. And so Chris knew that he wasn't, you know, nuts, that actually there was a sound that was taking place.
I'd like to point out that we live near Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm sick, so nothing's coming out right.
We're in the Bible.
That's all right.
But we're right in the Bible Belt. Now, it's a wonderful, lovely place. I would never talk trash about North Carolina. I love it dearly. I'm still here. But it's a very Baptist place.
Yes. My family's from Alabama, so, I mean, I know how Baptist.
Yeah, and we're a little further north and a little more liberal than that. But, you know, here it just wasn't something we were comfortable talking about. And so I didn't have anyone to go to with it. And I was from a military home. I was born at Fort Bragg. And, you know, there was a certain structure to our lives as far as dinner times and doing homework. And, you know, my room was cleaned up every night before I went to bed. And I didn't question it. It was just a fact of life. So I would, at night, you know, I would put all my toys away, get my clothes laid out for the next day, and, you know, be ready to go. And I would wound up having to wake up 15 minutes early every day so I could clean my room up again. Because I couldn't have my mom come in there in the morning and my room be a wreck, and it would be like, why, you didn't clean it up last night? Well, yeah, I did. You saw it before I went to bed. But still, I would have wound up in trouble. So they would... They were voices in the dark, and they would take stuff and hurl it across the room, unpack my toy boxes, take my clothes out of the closet.
Holy cow.
Okay, but did anybody else, I mean, you say that you were in the room with your brother. Did your brother ever experience any of these things, or did your parents ever experience, didn't want to say anything, and then finally one day were like, yeah, we were experiencing some weird stuff here. Anything like that?
Okay, well, unfortunately, none of us came out of the ghostly closet until after he had passed away. So I don't have any way to get any confirmation from him other than a seance. But my older brother, you know, what happened was when I was 10 years old, I attempted suicide like 3 times in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And my mom actually found me hanging from the clothesline on my last attempt. And so with the therapist, I was able to talk about what was going on, and she never did reveal anything to my parents that I was aware of. But she helped me through the issues of why I was trying to take my own life. And she said, basically, she said, have they ever hurt you? And I said, well, at this point, you know, there was one instance where one of them hurled a mayo jar at me. and it hit me in the elbow and fractured my elbow. But other than that, they had never actually done me any outright harm. So she said, then what's the worry? If they can't harm you, don't be afraid of them. Take authority. And that's right. What I did. Mm-hmm. And she said, let knowledge be your weapon. So I began to live in my libraries and antique and vintage bookstores looking for anything on a subject even remotely related to the paranormal. And I started around the age of 10 or 11. And my mom could tell you stories of me begging her to drive me to Charlotte to these obscure bookstores. And when she found out one of them was an occult store, she just went off the chain.
You are but a kindred spirit, my friend, let me tell you. Yeah.
Well, my mom is actually really opened up about it, and because of my experiences and watching, and I would like to say that, yes, we know some of the shows on TV are faked, okay, but mm-hmm. some of them I still believe have some integrity. I won't call them by names because that's, you know, it's none of my business what's going on with them. We do our thing and we do it right, but I was inspired by some of the shows that I saw, especially dealing with children and the paranormal, because I saw, even if some of them were making things up, there's got to be a grain of truth somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I saw case after case after case of people that had a lot of similarities with what I had gone through about the time frame in which it begins, 4 to 6 years old, voices in the dark, just different things that were going on. And I said, you know what, these are parallels. So I'm not going to be quiet about it anymore. I'm going to step out and tell my story. And it was actually very good for me to do so because it helped me resolve some more issues I didn't even realize on an emotional level. Mm-hmm. But to come forward and talk about it, write blog stories about it, and tell everyone we're here for you. And basically, the message we try to give parents that deal with children that are having these instances and they're telling them, you know, hey, mom, this is going on. Okay, yes, some of it is the monster under my bed.
Yeah.
But some of it, and some of it could actually be paranormal. And then some of it could be deep-seated emotional issues. At any rate, there is no benefit to ignoring it.
Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
Listen to your children. You know, that's the message. Listen to your children, take them seriously, and decide as a family what should be done. And we are always available for counseling from an experienced viewpoint, not necessarily clinical.
Yeah.
But we always defer to professionals in that instance. We would never want to tell anyone not to seek a professional medical help.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I know, like in my house, we have a 2-year-old, and we have two in our house. We have the man on the stairs and Pauline in the basement. And there's not a day that doesn't go by where I don't see my son Theo, Theodore. He's named after Theodore Roosevelt because he was such a badass president.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We got a story. We got a story for you then.
Okay, cool.
Telling.
But you know, it's not a day goes by where he's not looking at the man on the stairs and talking to him.
Right.
You know, and it's funny because it's like both of these entities in our house, they're very friendly, but Pauline in the basement is more active. Like, I can feel her looking over my shoulder right now. So it's like she's more active than the man on the stairs, but Theo never really gets down into the basement for Pauline. So he only has the man on the stairs. So, yeah, I mean, definitely. If your kids say that they're seeing something, you know, I've always believed that children are great witnesses, despite what some people say, because they don't have the thing in their mindset that says, I'm going to bullshit people because I completely know that I'm going to look like an idiot. They don't care. They want to tell you the truth. So kids are such a great witness with that kind of stuff.
And from a healing standpoint, you have everything to gain by just listening to them and showing faith that you believe in them, because that, among anything, will give them confidence.
Yes.
And they can stand and deal with their issues, and you can deal with it as a family, as opposed to ignoring or ridiculing, which is the absolute worst thing to do.
Is it. Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Chris didn't talk to anybody openly until he was an adult, really.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that.
So, you know, and it wasn't really until we met.
I'm going to pass it off to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I know Kim has wanted to relate that story about Theodore Roosevelt as well, so I was going to nutshell what happened was I saw those shows and I said, you know what, I want to help. I want to bring my, you know, help these kids that are feeling afraid and vulnerable. And right. Kim and I are both products of divorce, and we had met each other and found out that we had these similarities, and we all set each other really well, and we both had a passion for the paranormal. And when I told her about how my life had been, and I had been haunted, and when I was 10 years old, I attempted suicide, and then I began to study on the paranormal. There was another pivotal event that happened, and that's where I've been told he's my spirit guide. I call him my ghost. And as a kid, I named him Red because he was wearing a red coat and hat. And that's just what I called him. But I've been told he was a spirit guide. And he came and he basically drove those voices in the darkness away. And I basically only had to deal with him from that point out. And he never scared me. Yeah, he would make me feel uncomfortable from time to time. But I never got any kind of evil or negative vibe from him. So, you know, and it was when I decided that I wanted to do something to help. Kim and I started putting things together and created our organization. And I talked to my family about it and explained to them, you know, I'm coming out with this and I hope you guys are prepared for any fallout that may come our way. And all of a sudden, oh, well, my brother had this experience and my mom had this experience.
Yeah.
My dad thought I was crazy until a year ago.
Literally.
And he called me one morning. He's like, son, I've got to apologize. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning with a man standing over my bed. And I followed him out, and he walked into the kitchen and vanished. And I said, well, congratulations, Dad.
We saw your first one.
when my group speaks, that's one of the things we talk about, is that there are two kinds of people in this world. There are people who have had paranormal experiences and those who have yet to have them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. I just think it's funny that I remember, you know, 15, 20 years ago, people would look at me and say, you're pretty friggin' weird, man. But now it's like they look
at
me.
We're cool.
It's like, wow, you're a rock star.
My son's friends think I'm the most awesome person on the planet because of all the stuff that I do with paranormal. Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't have happened when I was a teenager.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was, you know, telling you, or, you know, when you were talking earlier about Teddy Roosevelt, I have a story that I want to tell you.
And this involves Patty and the Paravisions group.
Yeah, we were up in Bellbrook at the lockdown up there. And we went to the Pennewit Hardware Store. And Chris was drawn to a certain corner in a room.
Yeah, I mean literally drawn. Everybody else was headed one way and I went that way.
Yeah, it was a very obscure place. And I was looking for him. And I finally came around and I found him. And he had started setting up the spirit box. And it kept saying, Scott. Said it like 8 times, Scott.
Okay. Yeah, that Scott was pretty weird, too.
It was just sit there and kept saying nothing else.
Scott.
Just Scott.
Scott.
Okay, so then, you know, Scotty Rourke, I know you know Scotty.
Oh, yeah.
Is on the other side of the building, and he gets a tap on his shoulder or his head, and he feels led to come over to where we're at. Well, after that point, it doesn't say Scott anymore. So then it starts saying blood, and it says blood. It says a bunch of times, and so we, you know, we were curious, you know, so we started having this conversation with this spirit, and he kept on, basically, he turned out.
Well, hold on. When we do an EVP or a spirit box session, when people, when did you die? I don't like to ask that question with the spirit box because of radio stations always saying their call signs and stuff.
Sure.
So it's too easy to just get a random number come through and say, oh, 19, you died in 1919. So I say, you know, who was the last president when you were alive?
Mm-hmm.
That's and that narrows it to a 4 to 12, 16 year window with one Roosevelt.
Depending, yeah.
But so it actually did answer Roosevelt.
Yeah. So we, you know, but there was two President Roosevelt.
And I asked it again.
Yeah, he asked, so Theodore or Franklin? And it says Teddy.
Nice. That's very cool.
Yeah. That was a chilling response, too, because at that moment you realize, wow, I'm having an intelligent conversation with a spirit, and this just isn't random.
Yeah. I mean, what were the chances of us getting that? And also, it was across multiple stations.
And we had a conversation with it that lasted several minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was about 30 minutes.
You have to think that every answer we got And you know, you think, okay, well, maybe 70% were, you know, could actually be attributed to the question, and 30 were, you know, they didn't seem to make sense. It wasn't right. Like that.
It was not.
It was like 98% of all the answers matched up with the question and, that was asked.
And they were
and it's that consistent voice, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the same voice.
Yeah, that's how you know you're onto something, is you get mm-hmm. that consistent voice and, all the and way
I'm
across.
I'm looking at statistics and odds thinking, you know, the chances of getting 115 responses from the same voice that are intelligent and coherent over a 30-minute mm-hmm. period of time are astronomical.
And saying some of the same words multiple times.
Hey, have you ever had your sentence repeated back to you? Or I asked one time, I said something, I said, I'm sitting on your bed, and the spirit box, it almost sounded like my voice said, bed.
Yeah, I personally, I mean, I know Karen uses that kind of stuff. I'm, you know, like I've said before, I use very old school techniques when I do my investigations.
Well, we do
so I really don't use that kind of thing, so. Oh, okay.
We like to embrace the modern and mm-hmm. stay with traditional as well.
I think that's the way to go.
Right. But, I mean, we have had some really good, especially in the Montgomery House, we have had some tremendous, I mean, entire sentences in the same voice. You'll hear some of them.
And I would like to comment to all investigators and want-to-be investigators, anyone that has a passion to know more. In this field, there is no bad tool. Okay? You hear a bunch of smack talk about the PSB-7 or the K2 meter. Okay, so every piece of equipment has its downfall, but they also have their purposes. And you just have to tailor your investigation and your techniques and style to the tools you have and to the situations. We were in a building that was off the charts. It made every tool that we had almost useless. It was Pennywood Hardware Store. Every meter we had pegged. So at this point, you know, it's put the K2 away, put the mail meter away, and go with your body. Your body is a tool for detection. And the more the more you do this work, the more attuned you become. Mm-hmm. And you'll actually be able to rely more upon your own personal experiences than you can a piece of equipment to tell you what's going on.
Well, I mean, even when we walked upstairs at the Pennywood Hardware Store, it felt like a mushy goo that you walked through.
It was like a membrane in the air. But my advice to everyone is, this is a burgeoning science. You know, there's very little that's truly known, and there's nothing set in stone.
Right.
So keep your minds open and your hearts pure. Use what tools are available. Talcum powder and balloons with some masking tape can be great tools if properly used.
Right.
You can have $1 million worth of equipment and have wasted all your money if you don't know how to properly apply what you're doing.
Someone asked if we got any of that particular event on a recorder. Yes, we did. We've got to do. Unfortunately, we did not have our thermal video camera. The IR light it melted literally. We have all the audio evidence, but we don't have any video evidence of it. So we have the entire session, you know, that we actually...
Let me explain real quick, though. We had gone to an event in Bellbrook, and we did not actually have a complete investigative team and setup with us. We had what we call our travel pack. So it's like a scaled-down version of an investigator's kit.
Okay.
Because we were going to an event, we were there for several days, and you know it wasn't all about doing investigations every night. You know?
Yeah,
we didn't have enough. We just didn't have enough room to bring everything.
Well, we didn't take the security cameras,
and we were also hooking up with several other teams. So we brought handheld gear. We didn't bring like a surveillance system and all of that stuff. So that's they asked if we had any audio recording and
yeah, the only thing that we have now in that particular investigation, we do have some great audio evidence, like I said, and you know, we are going to make that available on our YouTube channel so that you can at least hear the great. I mean, because this was one of the best, spirit box spirit sessions we've ever had.
So yeah, we were there at Bellbrook with Keith Age and
Jody Cook and
Patrick Burns.
We were the Booth Brothers and Aaron Houdini. I mean, we were all there. It was a lot of fun. So, and then of course Paravisions was there as well.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about the ghost boxes is that it's either just right on or it's not working at all for you. And I think it has more to do with the spirit that you're working with and their ability to figure it out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, also, the more we learn about this field in years to come, what if we learn that certain spirits are made of a certain type of energy, and, you know, because we have different types of haunts.
Sure.
You know, you have intelligent and residual. What if different types of energy have different structure and affect the world around them differently? So you won't get a reading from one spirit on this piece of equipment, but you will on this one. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet. Right, and that's why everyone needs to really keep track of what they're doing and record what evidence they get, what they get it on. And that's the only way we're going to is to compile this information. We'll start getting somewhere.
You know, and something else is last time, you know, we've been back to the Montgomery House since then a couple times. And in one of the sessions that we actually had more response, and this is in the middle of nowhere. So there's no cellular towers. There's no radio stations. There's no.
Right.
Okay, so you can't get anything.
Yeah, so, if my car radio won't pick up a station, right, that little radio there is not.
Not yeah, exactly.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. So the K2 meter, and we don't have our cell phones or anything on us at the time. So this particular session, we actually had more response from the K2 meter, which I normally don't really like. You know, I normally just, you know, don't
hear
that as much.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people say that they really, really hate the K2 meter. You know, and I hear different kind of things. I mean, is there something specifically that you don't like about it? Because I hear so many people say it.
Yeah, well, it can be rather easily affected by radio fields. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. you can be on an investigation, and it's now known that someone can stand right out of camera and have a walkie-talkie, and every time they click it,
yeah, absolutely. K2 will go off.
Okay, so
and that's what makes you think that a lot of these television shows are full of crap, you know?
Right. Yeah, but I don't throw names out there.
But, yeah. You know, this particular situation, we were in complete control of it, and all of us were there in the video. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I was taking the picture. But, you know, but they were photographed and so I mean videoed, and so Beth is sitting there. And I like to joke with her, Beth Fontaine.
She has a beautiful smile, so yeah. We always joke with her about how cute she is.
And I give her a plug for Para Adventures. She does some, especially even around the Kentucky and Ohio area and stuff, she does some events up there.
Yeah, she does.
I have heard of that.
She's going to be doing ghost tours and stuff like that as well, and I believe she has us scheduled to be a celebrity tour guides.
Tour guides, yeah.
So
at the Morrison Lodge.
Combine our storytelling and experience and going to conduct some.
So, but she, anyway, so I like to joke with her a little bit. And I asked the spirit, I said, so you think Beth's cute? You think she's pretty? And every single time it would peg. I mean, every single time it would peg all the way up. But any other time it wouldn't answer I wouldn't be asking the question, it wouldn't do anything. And so, and none of us were doing anything to affect it whatsoever. So, you know, I do take credence in that particular
session. And something I'd like to throw out about that particular room. This house, there was at one time two families living in it back in the 60s, maybe 50s.
Yes, yeah, 60s.
And the patriarch of the family, we won't throw any names out. He used to sit, and this is a fact that was told to us by one of the children, that he would get drunk and then make all the kids and younger adults come into the dining room and sit around on the floor, and he would sit in his rocking chair and get drunk, and he would make them play Russian roulette. He
went awful.
He put one bullet in the gun, spin the cylinder, and then point it at a kid and pull the trigger.
She literally called him evil.
She said that he was evil incarnate.
Evil
she wouldn't
incarnate.
Say exactly who he was. But
she wouldn't talk about everything.
She was terrified of him, yeah. and he's long dead. So,
yeah,
she said he was 70 or 80.
She said, if there's any activity, it'd be right here. This is where he slept.
Yeah.
So, and something else that was very interesting, we did not find this out until we interviewed her a couple months after we had done our initial investigation. And, you know, in the video, you said that you were, didn't you say you were watching the video, I think? Did you say that, Karen, or was it somebody else that was saying that?
I don't think so. No, I haven't.
Well, in the video, Chris is grabbed, okay, on the side in our first episode of the Montgomery House, and his hands. And it was at that very spot that there was,
I have a better story, Sally.
Okay.
She was videoing.
You guys cracked me up.
We were doing an EVP session, and she was running the camera, and we used the word anomaly. Chris, I see an anomaly in front of you. I don't think that's what she actually said on the film, but she said, I see an anomaly in front of you. And I said, yeah, I feel it. And I lift my arm up to look at the static charge going through my hair. Now, it's dark, but, you know. Anyway, so I lift my arm, and you see me do that. And then I look under my arm behind me, and that's because I just felt a hand, and I'm sitting cross-legged on the floor. I felt someone's right hand grab me on the right hip. I could feel the pressure of the thumb in the back and four fingers on the front, and it squeezed with a good, firm, steady pressure. And it was a man-sized hand. Mm-hmm. Now, I looked behind me at that point to make sure our junior investigator wasn't, you know, breaking a cardinal rule and playing a joke on an investigation. Sure. There was no one behind me, and you get an actual, honest-to-God, genuine reaction. I scream like a four-year-old schoolgirl, jump up 2 feet before I realize those immortal words, dude, run.
Oh, God.
Don't run. So I stopped, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to run. Hey, what the hell?
It happens. You know what? It happens to the best of us. We were talking about that earlier. Sometimes your body reacts before your brain does.
Yeah, exactly.
It
took me by surprise, but I mastered myself.
Yeah, it didn't take very long. He didn't run out of the room or anything.
No, but I ran behind the camera.
A couple months later, we were doing an interview with the woman that I had tried to get before we had done the initial video. And she had lived in the house as a child, and she's the one that told us about the van. And she told us, well, we also had heard about a story about a man upstairs that had died.
In the 60s.
And he had actually been dead 6 days before they found him.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, his dogs got to him before they did. And they ate him.
They ate him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
you know what? It's so weird. It's like you hear about that kind of stuff happening. And personally, I've always thought it was just an urban legend. But apparently, it's true.
Well, this is actually a documented case. This really did happen in that house. And you know, the dogs ate him. And so we were doing the walkthrough with Naomi, and she pointed to this dark stain on the floor in the upstairs bedroom. And it's wooden floors, hardwood floors, but they're ancient, from 1830. And she said, and here's where they found, what was it, Alexander or something like that? But anyway, they found
Andrews. Mr. Andrews.
This is where they found Mr. Andrews dead after his dogs had eaten him. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? She said, yeah, he kept a mattress on the floor, and he didn't have any furniture, and he slept on the floor. And I'm like, that is the exact spot I was sitting in when I got grabbed on the hip.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yeah. Wow.
So with let's
see the stain on the floor.
Let's take a break. You guys,
we need to regroup after eat after dog meat.
And I have to go talk to my dogs for a minute.
You don't want them to eat you, right?
No, and I don't think they would, although there's one I'm not quite so sure about. So actually it's the cat that worries me. So let's
Monkey has evil intentions.
No, it's the cat. Our cat is evil. But Dookie Mouse or MD, the cat. So let's do this. We'll go to break. We'll be back in just a minute or two. You guys will stick around, and you sent us some EVPs. We can play those. You can tell us some more stories. And so we'll be back in just a minute. Stick around. It's Paranormal Underground Radio on ztalkradio.com.
Rick Hale thinks he's the most important host on Paranormal Underground Radio. Rick Hale thinks his name should come before Karen Fraser's in the credits. But last Thursday, when a special guest failed to show up, Rick Hale wasn't even there to deal with it. This Thursday, it's time to send Rick Hale a message. The proceeding was a paid political ad by the Institute for Responsible Paranormal Internet Radio.
I'm Karen Fraser, and I approve this message.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American News and Politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
Underground presents the adventures of the world's most fascinating, paranormal investigator.
He never gets possessed by demons. He possesses them. Even angels line up to eat his soul. Native American burial grounds want him to build his home on top of them. God often ponders if he exists. Even Disney got in on the action. They built the Haunted Mansion just so he would come investigate it. He is the world's most fascinating paranormal investigator.
I don't always have time to listen to the radio, but when I do, it's Paranormal Underground Radio.
Be fascinating. Listen to Paranormal Underground Radio on ztalkradio.com. Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern.
Stay spooky, my friends.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, we're back. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on ztalkradio.com. We've been talking for the last 45 minutes or so with Kimberly Brulette and Chris Messini.
Man, are we bored. No, I'm kidding.
No, I mean, really, no.
Just kidding. You guys are great.
But I just have one question for you, Karen, and I still, you've never answered me. How did you get Count Dracula to do that commercial? Because he sounds more like Count Dracula.
That is our old friend Bert Coates who did that for us.
Yep.
Yep.
So, you know, guys, you know, I wanted to touch on this live on the air, and I'm sure Karen did as well. But we were talking a little bit about provoking, and you know that it's starting to change a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what are your thoughts on provoking?
Well, we had done some provoking, and we weren't happy. We didn't get any results from it.
I didn't notice.
This was early on and when we were developing our own styles and technique, and figured it just didn't play for us. And then we were fortunate enough to meet the Booth brothers, and we sat in on a little seminar they were giving, and Philip Adrian said that you know, they had lived tragic lives and died horrible deaths, and what right did we have to go in there and yell at them and provoke them? That it was very disrespectful, and that why should they talk to us if we're going to act like that?
Yeah.
And it made so much sense. You know, you put it in perspective. Let's go in there with a little respect and humility, and maybe they'll be more inclined to communicate with us.
I'm glad you said that because it's so true.
And plus, when you provoke, the responses you get might be from something you don't want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's like
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I oftentimes say, you know, in The Wizard of Oz, where he says, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
I always tell people, pay very close attention to the man behind the curtain, because he can and will kick your ass if he is so inclined. And that's what we have to deal with, because we really don't know what it is that we're dealing with to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we were saying earlier, different types of spirits can be made of different energies, and that gives them all different characteristics.
Sure.
You know, not all spirits are the same, because I've run into malevolent spirits. You know, they're the reason, they're the ones that make your hair stand up, that make you not want to be in that room. And I've run into spirits that were playful and inquisitive.
Yep. Not all people are the same.
Yeah, they're reflections
and
of what they were
in life. I run into people who make my hair stand up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yep. But what matters to me, and I think it's important, and just along the lines of what you're saying, is it's about basic human courtesy, kindness, compassion, and respect.
And let's look at it this way, too. Are you going to go to your local Hell's Angel, kick in his front door, and run in there screaming, come out, you bastard, I got to talk to you, I want to know why?
No, I think Hunter S. Thompson learned the hard way that you don't mess with the Hell's Angels, you know?
You don't mess with the Hell's Angels.
Especially when you can't see them.
If you wouldn't have messed with them in life, why would you mess with them in death like that? I mean,
so anyway, but it does ultimately come down to respect. You know, if we're going to be in this field, we need to have a respect for the spirits that we're dealing with. And you know, wherever it comes from, you either need to respect them because they were once living beings and that they're in a sad condition, maybe, possibly, or they're more powerful than you could imagine and they can do you harm if they so choose. So respect should be given.
Yep.
And that's just our personal opinion.
Well, and
yeah. No, and you're absolutely right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just saying, you're absolutely right. With you.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we've talked about, you know, some people in, you know, in the entertainment field have done a lot of provoking, and they're paying for that now. You know, they have lost relationships, they've lost, you know, they lost friends, they lost family, they lost loved ones. And, you know, because they didn't approach the spirit world with respect.
I have always believed in karma. What you put out comes back.
Me too, yes.
And I don't see why that wouldn't have the exact same relevance in the paranormal field.
Absolutely. Well, and I live my life by a very, very simple rule. And, you know, I'm not a Christian, and so I don't call it the golden rule, but it's still the same rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that includes dead folks.
Yeah.
So you guys sent some EVPs.
Yep.
Cheryl.
Yes.
Cheryl, hi. Do you have
love us some EVPs.
Okay, I do. Some of these may be SBRs, and I'll explain. We use the spirit box a lot in our investigations. Not all the time, but when it works, you know, we really like to go with it. Okay. And I always like to tell people, you know, these things are recorded over a long period of time where it's going as fast as it can through every radio station. And when you have the same voice, you know, it's a coherent sentence, then, mm-hmm. you know, you're probably communicating. But yes. We call them SBRs, spirit box responses.
So I like that.
Because
like
we that. Don't want people to confuse them with EVPs, which are something completely different.
That's
which
right.
We also feel, mm-hmm. you know, and EVPs carry more weight because they do come from the ether. But
that's right.
I do feel that the spirit box is relevant. Not all the responses are correct, but I've seen enough and heard enough to know that there are spirits communicating because we do it on public radio stations, and you're not supposed to use the F-bomb and bitch and all that stuff up there. And we continuously get responses with foul language in it.
Yeah, so
Pearl at Pennywood Hardware kept saying, F you, bitch.
Yeah,
you
know, so with that said, you know, these, I think, are mostly going to be spirit box responses. But when you hear them, you'll know that it was going through about 15 different radio stations. So,
yeah.
Well, and one of the things, I like that you make that distinction because I see a lot of very young groups that post EVPs. Or they post spirit box responses, and they call them EVPs. And I feel like just an absolute biatch when I say, well, actually,
it's
that's not
an
EVP.
EVP.
Yeah.
We actually got on this bandwagon just over a year ago trying to make sure everybody knew that we knew the distinction. We're not trying to pass off spirit box responses as EVPs.
Well, they're not the same thing.
Yeah, and we don't want anybody to make that mistake.
The other thing is that it gives them something new on Ghost Hunters to explain what it is, because I'm getting tired of hearing what he is. So if you should send them the language, tell them it's an SBR, and they could film 47 talking heads of Steve saying, SBR is, and then they can play it repeatedly until...
But I want credit. I came up with it.
Well, you get a hold of them. You tell them it's
make
all
sure you
year.
Get that credit.
Yep.
I get paid that tenth of a penny every time they say it.
So Cheryl, without further ado, shall we listen to some of the files that they have?
So
let's talk real quickly, and I know you mentioned it before, but go ahead and just again explain how a spirit box works.
Well, basically, whenever a spirit box, it automatically, we have a PSP7, and a PSP7 is an already set, it's made
it was
purpose
for use. Built to do
right.
this. It's not a converted radio.
Right. So basically, you hit scan. You can scan forwards or backwards. You can scan AM, FM radio stations, and you can also scan a different rate.
You can control the rate
you
of
can,
scan.
And so we like to have it as fast as you possibly can so that prevents more sounds from being able to go through, you know, come through on the radio.
We like to make it as difficult as possible to make it more, it just... more veracity
right.
to it.
So, and like on the FM stations, you can do it 150, I believe, and then on AM, you can do 200. So it depends on how active the radio stations are in the area as to which ones are better than the other. So it really, you know, it just depends. So anyway, But the point is that usually the sounds will carry through on a different frequency than the sounds of the radio. So there's a lower flow of frequency, and often if it goes between multiple radio stations, you will still see that between the scans. So you can see something is there that shouldn't be.
And I would like to ask the makers of the PSD7 if they would please put a port on it that allows you to connect it to the computer or to a recorder.
Oh, yes, you can put it directly into the... Oh,
yeah, sometimes standing goodness. There with PSD in one hand awesome. And a recorder in the other.
Yeah,
well,
that'd be great.
So it connects to just a little regular speaker, or does it have an onboard speaker? I'm looking at it.
We have a speaker system that we plug it in to make it even louder so that we can put our recorder right up to it and capture every sound.
But it has an onboard speaker, I see.
I think that's a design flaw that they need to go back and address. They need to make a port where you can plug it directly into your recorder or your computer.
Yeah, they need to have a computer kind of out of it.
Enough said, back to the SPL.
All right, anyway, okay, so there you go, and it's the P, like Peter, SB, like Ball, 7 is what the spirit box is that they're talking about. Okay, Cheryl, we're ready.
Sure, yes.
Okay, here's the first one.
Whoa.
Okay.
Is that a spirit box or is that an EVP?
That's a spirit box, lady Ann. Okay, I was upstairs sitting on the bed, I think, and at the Montgomery House, and I said, we have a junior investigator with us, you know, what do you think of that little girl? She'll be up here in a little while. And the response came through the spirit box, and I actually heard it at the time, and it said, "That's the way we get you."
Oh, that's...
Well, now I'm terrified.
Listen to it again.
Yeah, well, I hear that now.
Hmm? Yeah, definitely. Well, let me ask you, with the junior detector, I mean, investigator, and hearing something like that, I mean, isn't that kind of make you a little reluctant on bringing children along?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we try to be careful about that. If what you call it, Bobby Mackey's.
Yeah.
Okay. She really wants to go there, and we really don't want to risk it.
No, I mean, I mean, the Montgomery House, we hadn't had any negative experiences before that, and we really haven't had anything happen that was like detrimental to us. But that is,
it still gives you a moment of pause.
Yeah. It still makes you want to be concerned.
So no, she does not go on every investigation. We don't, you know. First thing that we consider on any investigation is physical safety. I do a daytime walkthrough. I don't ever investigate anywhere I haven't been during the daytime, because I like to look for physical hazards: collapsing staircases, holes in the floor.
Yeah.
You know, forewarned is forearmed, and we tell
physical hazards. What?
No. Yeah, that's before the spiritual. Most people, we call them guerrilla investigations, where your teenagers just run out and find a haunted house that they want to investigate, and they run in willy-nilly, and they run the risk of either A, ending the night in handcuffs, or an ambulance.
Yep.
Well, you know, another thing, too, that I always found interesting is, and I've actually, you know, spoken to somebody that's tried out for these shows, and I guess that there is, like, a team in the production team that will go into a location and sanitize it first so nobody does get hurt.
I'm actually one of those people.
To tell me about that. So that's, I don't know.
Well,
to me, that's shenanigans, you know.
Yeah.
I go through, we have two rolls of caution tape. Like, there's a mill that we've been investigating, and there's one entire staircase and floor that's about to collapse, and it's not marked off. You know, so I go in there with my caution tape, and I mark off that stairwell and let my investigators know, please do not try to go in there. And we, you know, so we try to take care of that, and then if like something like Bobby Mackey's, where it's suspected mouth to hell or whatever, and there's all this demonic or activity that's after women, you know, I'm not going to take her there. I mean, she's at the point where bravado overrides common sense. You know, she wants to go because she thinks it'd be fun.
Well, now here's the interesting thing: is like my wife, she's very supportive about what I do, although she doesn't really like a lot of it. She has actually told me, and Karen will back me up on this. My wife Jamie has actually told me that she will leave me if I ever step foot into Bobby Mackey's. I mean, popular culture has her so convinced that the place is filled with demons that you know that it's going to try and eat my soul and stuff like that. Personally, I think that Bobby Mackey's has just got a couple of really kind of like dudes who are dickheads in life, so now they're going to be dickheads in death. That's what I think. But
yeah. I reserve judgment till I see it for myself.
Well, that, and I mean, yeah. I've talked to Wanda Kay, you know, on the chat and Facebook and stuff, and she's been the DJ there for a long time, and you know, so,
and we do want to go,
and we want to go, but you know, I wouldn't think that it was that bad that she could have stayed there that long, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's like we tell people, yeah, we're professional investigators, and they say, oh, have you been to Waverly? Have you been to Bobby Mackey's and all this stuff? And we're like, well, no, we've been to the Stanley, and we've been to Bellbrook. But we, you know, and they're like, oh, well, you're nothing. You haven't been there. I'm like, yeah, but have you been to the Mill? Have you been to the Montgomery House? Have you been here and there someplace?
Well, that's every location. It doesn't. That's
my point is, just because those locations are famous doesn't make them any better than some of the ones we've been to. We're in no hurry. Well, we're in no hurry to get to some of those locations because they've just been done to death.
They have.
And, exactly.
And there's a lot of them. There's hype with them. And there's one location that we went in and investigated right after Paranormal State had been in investigated. It's the Klondike restaurant down in St. Helens, Oregon. And the gal said, you know, the owner said, I really think the ghosts are getting tired. There's just been so much interest and so many people coming through here. They actually shut the location down for a while just to give the ghosts there a rest.
Because
many people were coming through, and they were getting less and less and less stuff.
And how many times can you hear about Timmy? I mean, let's face it. I've been in some private residences. The group that I have, we do primarily private residences when we do them. And it's like, oh my God, they are far more terrifying than, you know, Timmy in a sanitarium or whatever. It's you know, people don't realize that doing private home investigations, that's where you really are helping people.
Exactly. Yep. And also wanted to say though that real quick that we don't necessarily want to go to all those big places because I'm not in this to follow in other people's footsteps.
Yes.
I'm in this for real investigations wherever they may take me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I wind up at Waverly one day, great. If I don't ever make it there, I'm sorry. I wish I did.
Yep, exactly. Because you know what? The ghosts at Waverly are no more awesome than the ghosts we have at locations here in the town where I live, or the town where you live, or where Rick lives. Waverly has just gotten a lot of press. And the problem is I think with places like that, people get such high expectations.
Yeah.
That then they go in and they're a little disappointed.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and like when we went to the Stanley, actually, I think there were so many people, and that's the other thing.
Too many people.
If you have too many people going through a place, not only one of the things that happens is that you have a lot of sound interference, so the evidence you get.
When you have more than 15 people in one room during an EVP session,
you don't know. You can't differentiate.
That's ridiculous.
So that part isn't good. And then when also, like you were saying, the spirits get worn out. So or they withdraw. You know?
Or they start to feel like a frickin' sideshow.
Exactly.
We've actually had spirits say to us, we are not a sideshow.
Wow.
Yeah. And we feel conflicted doing this because we're there, and we were there as speakers and guest investigators, and we wind up leading this group in the basement of the theater. Mm-hmm. And we feel this pressure, you know, because everybody's like, oh, well, when's this going to happen? You know, let's go here and find this. And we can't just make something happen if there's nothing going on tonight. See, that's what people don't get is sometimes on these shows, they're camped out there for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It isn't necessarily all done in one night.
Right? No. No, and I know teams that think that you can go someplace and do 20 minutes of this, 20 minutes of this, and 20 minutes of this.
Yeah. It don't work that way.
No,
it really makes me want to laugh. And, you know, and you talked about something earlier about, you know, your body being your greatest tool. It's like I've actually heard of these places, and I don't go a lot of these big places because one, I can't afford it, and two, it's like you said, they're just so done to death. But it's like they sit there, they have all this equipment that's surrounding them to tell them that there's something in the room, rather than just sitting there quietly for 20 or 30 minutes and saying, hey. Are you here with me right now? I'm going to tell you what, if I was a ghost, and, you know, hopefully one day I will, unless I do go through reincarnation real quick, but it's like, I'm more likely going to talk to somebody if they don't have a bunch of lights and buzzing and all that stuff going on around them. I'm going to talk to them before I talk to the jerk, you know, to the person that's quietly sitting there before I talk to the guy that's, you know, jerking around with all that equipment.
Yeah, I agree.
And the other thing I was just talking about in the chat room that I think it's important to understand is that, just like you are more likely to respond to someone who genuinely cares about you rather than proving something that's going to make them famous, finding that piece of evidence or that holy grail. The ghosts are the same way. They want people that go in and the people actually give a crap about them, that want to communicate about who they are, that want to find out more about them. It's about them. It's not about you. And so many paranormal investigators make it about themselves.
Yeah, we want to hear your story. And I do tell that when I'm doing like EVP sessions. It's like, tell me, I have been asked to come here by the family that lives here, but I want to hear your story. That's what I want to hear.
Well, that's why, you know, we don't ask the same questions typically. You know, we were saying earlier, we like to ask, you know, who was the president? You know, we want to ask questions that aren't the same.
I always like, what was your favorite song?
You know, or what's your favorite song?
What is your name? Why are you here?
Yeah, it's like,
can you give us a sign?
How did you die?
How did you die?
How old are you? You
know, I guess I'm, what's your favorite baseball team? You know, it's...
Yeah.
I'm a baseball fanatic. I want to know what your favorite baseball team is, if you have one.
Well, you know... One of the questions Chris asked at the Montgomery House was, "What's your favorite song?" And it's this sounds like this older African American dude saying, "That's Walking the Dog," you know, and that's the response that we got. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, he got to show a little bit of personality there, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and that's it. We like to go. We have a place that I go regularly, and we play him music. And my son has taken his saxophone up and played for him. And I have taken my recorder and played for them. Or we play just, you know, stuff on the iPod. And we have conversations. It's a friendship. And I know people look at me and think I'm absolutely nuts. But it's a friendship in some of these places. It's not just hunting ghosts. It's about learning about another soul.
Well, and you know, ironically enough, we had never heard of that song, you know, That's Walking the Dog, but we did look it up, and it was a song in 1965 by Rufus Thomas. That's Walking the Dog. And we
never
heard it
song.
Before. Yeah, it's a blues song. It's actually
cool
a really cool song.
Yeah, it is. I actually have it on my. I think I have it on my iPod, or it might be saved in my cloud. I'll have to double check.
So then, do you go back again and do you play that song for him?
Well, that's the next step.
Yeah, we
should. Gotta go back again.
Yeah, we need to do that. So, I mean, I think we got that on the
and
last time.
Someone in the chat room said something about they like going to, I guess, virgin places that have never been investigated. Mm-hmm. And that was the Montgomery House for us. And we just did a cotton mill here in our hometown that we were called to go investigate from complaints by the owner about activity. And through the course of our investigation, we found out that my great-grandfather was the last manager of that plant.
Oh, see, I love it when those coincidences happen. They're just totally awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge facility, so we've investigated it twice now. We've got to go back a few more times.
Right.
Oh, cool. So do you guys want to listen to a couple more of your...
Sure.
Oh, yeah, I want to listen
to them. I do. Cheryl, why don't you bring up another one?
Okay, here's the next one.
Thank you, my dear. Rufus? What?
Yeah.
Here we go.
It's.
I didn't catch that.
Well, that one's actually, it didn't sound like it came through as well. It's supposed to say piss off.
Oh, I thought it said head lice, so there you go.
Try it again. See,
how about, okay.
Yeah, piss off.
That one could have been stay and talk.
Was that stay and talk?
Why don't we move on to the next one? That one.
Okay, sorry.
That was gone.
It was a little. It was an
escape.
No, it's okay. We won't go.
See, this is the reason that I don't like the spirit box. Oh, sorry. Oh, I thought, were we playing it again?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I was just going to say that this is kind of one of the reasons I don't like the spirit box, because I can't understand what's being said.
And it's very, I find the thing about the spirit box is it's very fatiguing on the ears. You have to give it breaks, don't you? Do you
oh,
guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You listen to it for about 10 minutes, and then you start to hear crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, we have a secret, though. We look at the waveform. We put it into the sound editing file, yeah. And we look at the waveform. And when we hear a voice, we look at the spectrum or frequency the voice is coming in. And usually the SBRs will be a continuous waveform that you can see below the human, any kind of human frequency. So it'll be little small peaks, and they'll continue on. And then we know to focus on that and see what that
right.
is.
Right. Okay, so do you want to hear that one again, Rip?
Yes, please.
I can't make that up. For some reason, they don't sound like they're coming.
No, it doesn't sound as good. Right. It doesn't sound like it's cut.
They have to be compressed into an MP3 to play them on our encoder. Mm-hmm. And MP3s are really not a great audio format because they are so compressed. And so I think we have a lot of people who will say that, because I save any spirit box or EVP stuff that I do, I always save it as wave because that's much easier to hear, but our system doesn't play that.
Yeah, because I know some of the responses we got, they're very, very easy to make out. Mm-hmm. One said Scott, millions dead.
Did I send you that one? Huh? I didn't send you that one?
Well, I don't know. Let's try it. Let's try a couple more, Cheryl, and see if we can.
Okay, there's a couple that are, I think, clearer than that. That one's, we won't give up, and we never will.
Sounds like somebody jumping on the bed.
It sounds like, I don't know, like Norwegian black metal to me. I listen to that stuff. So
no, I do. I do think it's not coming across well.
Let's see if that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
When we send it,
before, it's that one is never give up, just never will. And that particular house, you have to understand this, the Confederate Army passed right in front of there. And
on the way to intercept Sherman.
And they actually camped in Ellerby, which was about 15 miles away. Well, on the way, there's this doctor's office. This doctor's house was the doctor's office. Yeah, this is the doctor's house. And he was a state senator twice, and he was a doctor. And so, naturally, they passed 20 meters in front of this guy's house. So, it's understandable that he treated some of the soldiers. And there's a good chance. Yeah. Now, I know this is conjecture, but there's a good chance... That some of those people.
I studied the Civil War, and I can tell you that if they marched on the road in front of a doctor's house, if they had wounded soldiers, someone took them up to that front door and he treated them.
Yeah. So some of them may have died. So
three of his sons fought for the Confederacy. So mm-hmm. yeah, he gave them.
Did my great great grandfather.
I had ancestors that fought in the Civil War and in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah. I had a galvanized Yankee. One that was sent out west.
But I just want to let everybody know that for some reason these are not sounding like they did. I'm going to post a bunch of them to my Facebook if anybody wants to listen to them.
Yeah, because they do sound better. They do. Well, they're actually, some of them are available on our YouTube channel, which is What Lies Beyond the Number.
Yeah, because we have one with a cannon in it. We got another one with a pistol shot.
Do you have the one with the Come See Me? Do you have that one?
No, I don't think we do.
Yeah, that one. Okay. Well, that one actually has like a gunshot in it.
Oh.
It sounds like a gunshot.
Yeah, it's a little girl says, "Come see me." Boom.
I can send it to you if you want, but
Do you want to drop it in Skype?
Let's listen to one more and see if we can get a good sound in one. It sounds like, though, that the MP3 has just really destroyed these. Yeah.
What's his name?
My name is Scott.
Scott. Millions.
I definitely heard that.
Yeah, that was actually a really good one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That one came through clear. That's Kelsey, the junior investigator, asking the question.
Mm-hmm. Then he's responding to her. So, I mean, we thought, you know, that was a pretty direct answer. I mean, Scott, Millions dead. And again, if you think about the Civil War connection, you know, it could be somebody saying, "Hey, there's Millions dead." Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you have a young country guy, you know, he sees the battle at Gettysburg or something like that, you know, he sees thousands of people, to him that's millions. But it's conjecture.
I love the ones that are either EVPs or the spirit voice, where you actually get that, you get the accent of the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are the best. I was just listening to some audio that I recorded on Monday, and in one of them, we know that there's somebody from Russia up there because we've heard him speak before. He said his name is Sergey. And I got, yes, but it was this long, drawn-out yes in a Russian accent. It was so cool.
did the Sergey happen to mention if they have vodka in heaven?
I'm sure that they do. This is the same place where they ask
it
for
whiskey. It cannot be heaven without the vodka.
Well, they asked for the whiskey and cigars. So he was in he's in the United States now. So we gave him whiskey and cigars. I know it. Awesome. So, Cheryl, do we have any others you want to run?
Yeah, here's one more.
Okay.
Spirits.
Yeah, that was the one we asked.
What's keeping you here?
Chris had just asked, what's keeping you here? And it said, spirits.
Interesting. Okay.
Could we hear it again, please? Oh.
Yeah, that one's pretty
clear.
Yeah,
that one gave me the creeps.
Yeah, that's clear as crystal.
Yeah, that was the conversation I was having where he said that there were eight spirits and something was keeping them there in the attic. And I said, "Well, what's keeping you here?" And it said, "Spirits."
Wow. So, I noticed that we're getting close to the end of the show, and I wanted to give you guys before we, let you go. I wanted to have you give out all of your pertinent details so
sure.
people can find you.
Well, like I said earlier, What Lies Beyond the Number 4, the letter U, is our YouTube channel, and you can also find us on Facebook. You can also find our blog at whatliesbeyondforyou.blogspot.com, and that's our blog. We have our series. Chris has a series, and we haven't done anything in a while on that. We need to actually probably do that.
I have been busy.
I know, we've been busy. We actually have been moving. I don't know if we said that earlier.
You're hoping the place is haunted. Yep.
So we've been moving, and so we've kind of been busy.
Okay. Very good. Well, I really enough. I appreciate
she said,
you. Oh, go ahead.
She said pertinent information.
Yeah,
I'm 5'9", 150. I'm available for parties and bar mitzvahs, about $60 an hour.
Credit card number? Credit card number?
The 10 o'clock show is the same as the 8 o'clock.
Credit card number, date of birth, and your mother's maiden name, please.
Yeah, I do magic tricks, but no balloon animals. They scare me.
I do balloon animals. Maybe between the two of us, we could be like a whole birthday party act.
No, they scare me.
I wouldn't want to.
Just kidding.
Just no clowns.
Oh, God, no. I have clowns. Let me tell you.
As long as not it.
Yeah.
So, was there any more information? Look us up on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you can find us on Facebook, too. We're about maxed out on our friends, unfortunately, so...
They don't want any more friends.
It's not that we don't want any. Facebook won't let us. We're like at 5,000. It sucks.
I've heard of that before. Well, that's why you need to have the page for, like, where people can just like you, because then, you know, that can be as many as you want.
Well, but then the thing is that people can subscribe to us anyway.
Yeah.
And then we couldn't respond, though. We wouldn't get all that message.
There's
back.
Always the RIP and What Lies Beyond on Facebook. They can go there and leave us messages. We check. We respond.
Yeah. And then we have research.
And if anyone needs assistance or advice, you know, we're always available for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on. I have to tell you, I'm really sorry, Kim, that I butchered your last name at the beginning of the show. It was mainly because I couldn't read my own writing.
It's all right. I'm used to it.
Well, in this case, Cheryl had told us just before you came on, and I wrote it down, and then I looked at my own handwriting, and I thought, crap, what does that say?
It is because the French language is too difficult for English tongue.
There you go. So thank you guys so much for coming
yes,
on.
Thank
it's
you very
it's
much.
Been a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Thanks
thank
for having
you.
Us, y'all. Have
Lots
a great
you time. Bet. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
So there they go, you guys. That was Chris Matheny, and I'm going to try and get it right this time. Kimberly Brulette from RIP and also from What Lies Beyond. And they have some great stories. Teresa in chat tells us that they are wonderful storytellers, and I totally agree with that. So, Rick,
yeah, definitely have to get them on again sometime.
Yeah, so the Ghost Box, I know you're just not a fan. Now, do you have one, and have you tried to use one, or is it the other stuff that you get once the, is it listening to other people's Ghost Box stuff that makes you a little skeptical, or have you tried it yourself?
No, it's not even a skeptical issue. It's just that I don't like it because I don't like the way it sounds. I did when I was with McHenry County Paranormal, I did, Tony gave me the money for it and I bought it and, I hacked into, into the radio and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not that I'm skeptical about it. I mean, mm-hmm. To be perfectly honest with you, I can't understand what it's saying.
It is, and it is very fatiguing. But it's what I find is that you have to listen beyond the switching of the stations, okay?
Yeah.
So when I find that it's working is one of two things. Either there's a voice over the top that's consistent, mm-hmm. or there's a voice underneath. So you have to listen beyond, because the switching is very distracting, and it's hard for your ears to listen to unless you've had a certain level of practice with it. But once you do, then you start to understand. Like, we had a conversation one night at Robert Lang Studios mm-hmm. with a guy on, and we were down in the studio part. So in the studio part, this is where they, they record albums, Nirvana and Pearl Jam and people like that have recorded albums there. There's even a Dave Matthews bathroom. So,
wow.
Ooh, I know, that's right. My son is all excited that he got to the bathroom in the Dave Matthews toilet.
It's funny that you say that, because a couple of years ago, Dave Matthews decided to use Chicago as a toilet. remember hearing about that?
No.
You don't remember that? Yeah, their bus was their tour bus was driving over the Clark Street Bridge, and they decided to flush out all the toilet type stuff.
Oh, no.
Into the Chicago River. But when they did that, they didn't realize that there was a tour going on the Chicago River that time. And Dave Matthews Band's feces fell all over everybody in the boat.
Oh, my God. No, this is actually a toilet that was built specifically for Dave Matthews, because he didn't want to leave the studio to go upstairs to go to the bathroom. So they put one in the studio. But anyway, so it's a recording studio, so it's very well shielded. So you're not getting the switching of the stations in quite the same way, because no radio comes through down there. Your cell phones don't work in the studio. I mean, because they don't want any audio interference with their equipment.
Right.
Because they're recording albums, Right. So we had the Ghost Box down there, and so we lost a lot of that distracting stuff of all the little voices coming over the top as it switched stations. And what emerged was this voice talking underneath the static. And it was this really laid back guy. He said his name was Steve, and he was from Cincinnati, and he sounded like he was from the 60s, because he'd say things and he'd be like, groovy, right on.
You actually heard this? I mean,
I have it. I have it recorded somewhere. And it was absolutely amazing, because we carried on with this guy, Steve, in this basement, probably a 20-30 minute conversation before our ears gave out and we just couldn't do it anymore. But I went back and listened to it on recording, and I swear to you, you could hear this guy talking to you under the radio. And I've had the same thing up at Wellington. And now at Wellington, you have kind of a similar situation. You're up in the mountains. Because there's mountains all around you, you're not getting radio stations particularly. So you're getting instead more static.
Right.
And again, I've had conversations, same voice, talking to a woman telling me that she didn't like some people were in the snow shed and they were using laser grids. And she was telling me that they scared her. She thought they were bad and she didn't like them. And I said, do you want me to go ask them to turn it off? And you know how sometimes, like, in freaky movies, you hear that dream voice where it's doubled up and sort of echoey?
Yeah.
And it was her voice, but it did that, and it said really pleadingly, it just, when I said, do you want me to go ask them to turn it off, it said, please, in this echoey, doubled, pleading voice.
See, now, you know what? It's interesting that you say that, because it's like, I can see if you are a Victorian era person.
That's and scary.
That would scare the hell out of me. I mean, it's really no wonder that when you are using a bunch of lights and equipment and stuff, you really don't get anything.
And so we went out and we asked him to turn it off, and I came back and I sat down, and the first thing that Ghostbot said was, thank you.
See, now, you know what? When you're able to do that kind of thing, I think that offers amazing validation.
Yeah.
For the existence of life after death. But you know, like I was we were talking about with the people from Paravisions a little while ago, there is absolutely nothing that you could do or say to change a cynic's mind. And that's unfortunate, even when you have this amazing conversation with some hippie dude named Steve.
Yeah, or with the lady, the, you know, 1910 lady up at Wellington, who's terrified of the green laser lights. And we do use laser lights up there still. We use them to point, because when we see something, we want to be able to point to it so that the other people can see it, because it's a very large location. But I've actually found that, depending on when the spirits are from, some of the things that we take with us, some of the technology scares them. And I think that's why you need to use both.
Well,
because they don't understand the lights, and they don't understand recorders, and you know.
Yeah. Well, oftentimes what I do when I'm on an investigation, if I'm using, you know, advanced equipment other than a compass, I mean, obviously people even going back 2,000 years are going to know what a compass is.
Right.
But it's like, if I'm using like a camera, or if I'm using, I use my Android phone to take EVP.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to say, first off, research is key when you're doing this kind of stuff. If you're in a house, like I said, where you're dealing with somebody from the Victorian era, it might be best to kind of like hide it on you somehow.
Dial back on the technology.
Exactly. Well, not so much dial back on the technology, but maybe mask it, hide it, but hide it to a point where it's still able to get, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to capture, and act like you're having a conversation, because this stuff is going to scare people. I'm sure that when I'm dead and gone and they're using God knows what it is 100 years from now, I'm probably going to look at that, maybe even think it's magic.
Well, and that's what we've encountered at Wellington a lot, is that they think a lot of the things that we use are maybe magic, or might be not really great. And so like when we use glow sticks, we explain to them
how
this looks like a candle, but you can touch it. It's not hot. It's not going to burn you like a candle. It sort of glows like a candle. I mean, so we tell them. And, of course, in 1910, they had some electricity and they had some electric lights. And in Wellington, they definitely had electricity, because they had the electric trains. And so the lines they used for the electric trains to pull the people through the tunnels, they also used to power the houses and the buildings.
Right. And I think that all goes back to that, what we were talking about, being respectful. I mean, you know what? It's like, if I'm going to come into an area that you still perceive as being your own, I want to at least introduce myself and introduce what it is that I'm using. People as far back as even in the 1860s know what a camera was, but they don't know what a camera
is.
Exactly. So that's why it's like, hey, look, I just want to capture your image. Could you talk to me, maybe? Just introduce it. I mean, obviously they're not children and they're not stupid, but they just don't understand.
They don't. And we go in assuming that everybody has the same modern day sensibilities that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that we go in with all these glowing screens and infrared lights. And
I mean, it's sexy on television, yeah.
Yeah, but all of this stuff, if you're going into a place where it's somebody who's been dead for 100 years, come on. I mean, you know, I'm going to go in and show them my iPad and they're going to be like, what?
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, it's either hide it on you, or really, really go out of your way to try and introduce yourself and what it is that you're using. Because I personally wouldn't want to deal with you if I didn't understand what I was dealing with.
Yep, absolutely. And the other thing is you have to watch the language you use, because I see people that go into places and they say, okay, talk into my recorder. Well, I'm sorry, but if I'm from 1865, I don't know what a recorder is.
Yeah, well, actually, they did have recorders, but, I mean, it was like those little, like, flute little type things.
Yeah, no, right, they're looking for your flute. And, you know, but you say this is a device, you have to watch your language is what I'm saying. So you have to describe things as devices.
I say machine.
Or machine.
Yeah, even people as far back as 2,000 years ago knew what a machine was.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's very important to... You know, but it's also your philosophy, too. I mean, if you want to go in there with, you know, every gadget you have ablazing and, you know, try and capture whatever, it's like, you know, good luck. But when you go in there and you hide it or you introduce it and talk about it a little bit before you go, you may find that you're going to get some better results. But, you know what? It was a great conversation that we have with Chris and Kim tonight. And it was a great conversation that we're having right now. And I wish we could do it all night long, because I do think that this is some very important stuff. But... You know, before we go, we did want to talk about a little bit of the show that's coming on next, Fox City's Paranormal Radio. Actually, they're pretty close to where I live. I'm in Ingleside, Illinois, and I think they're just over the border in Wisconsin. But, you know, if you're going to, you know, just stick around and listen to them, because it's a pretty decent show.
Pretty decent.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. Sorry, it's Midwestern slang. The guys from Fox Cities, they know when you say it's pretty decent that it means good. So
that's right. So, Cheryl.
You want to know what's up next week?
This is the time of night where I want to know what's up.
Yes. Next week, September 27th, we have Dave Galvin on from Paranormal League of America. We've talked to Dave in the past.
And meanwhile, at the Paranormal League.
I know.
Don't you love that name? That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's going to come back, check in, tell us what he's been up to, and we're looking forward to that. Also, next show, we're going to have another guest, author Cindy Pons Newell. And Cindy wrote a book, and it was influenced by actual events in her life, personal experiences that actually happened. And so while it's a fictional book, it was inspired by some true life events. So it's going to be pretty interesting. And then I just wanted to promo the show even after that. In October, our first show of the month, October 4th, we're welcoming back Jack Kenna, our friend from Spirits of New England, and we talked to him before as well. And he has gone on some really interesting cases recently, and he's going to share some of the things that he uncovered on those cases with us. So.
Oh, very good.
Fun.
And Rick's not going to be around on the 4th, right?
Yeah.
Rick is... Are you camping, Rick?
Yes, we are actually going to be taking Theo on his first camping trip to see how he does. Aww. Because then we have another one planned for the middle or the third week of October, I believe. So we just kind of want to see how he's going to do. He's not quite 2 years old.
Oh, well, he's
going
to totally eat dirt.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's awesome.
Be fun.
We'll see.
Oh, take pictures.
I've been camping with a child that age. They eat dirt. That's what they do.
Okay.
Yeah. So
pretty
that'll be a good time.
They
good
eat everything.
Times, good times. All right, so any other projects that we have not mentioned yet, Cheryl?
There is one, and you know, our friends out there that are familiar with ParanormalUnderground.net and the magazine, Paranormal Underground Magazine, are going to be shocked to learn we have a new issue coming out next week.
What?
Can you believe it?
I told about this.
Yeah, it's just been forever. We've had to be on a sort of unofficial hiatus here the past couple, 2-3 months, and now we're back in action, I'm pleased to say. So both Karen and Rick have articles in this issue.
I do.
So
I
stay
haven't had
tuned.
Anything in the.
What did I write about?
Like
you,
6 months.
Yeah. No, you had something recently, Rick. Rick has a haunted sites article about some interesting haunted places in his home state, and Karen has an editorial about.
I do.
Paranormal. Profiting and the paranormal.
Really? When did I write that?
Oh, like, I don't know, 5 months ago.
I wonder if I still feel that way.
I better send it to you.
Wait a minute, is this the article that I wrote that's called Welcome to Illinois, Come for the Hospitality, but Stay for the Weirdness?
That's the one.
Outstanding. I love that title.
Yeah, that's the one. And I left the whole title, you'll be happy to know.
See, okay, so there you go. If you can't get enough of me and Rick, well, by golly, you can go and read about it in Paranormal Underground. Or you can buy my book.
Buy the book.
Buy the book. Okay, so you know, hopefully next week we won't have our getting on the air issues. Fingers crossed, everybody. Think of good thoughts and send some, you know, energy to Paranormal Underground that we get on the air when we're supposed to. And thanks to our guests. It was
an interesting
conversation.
Chris and Kimberly. Awesome.
And in spite of Chris's cold, he did just fine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even tell.
Yeah, and Rick, in spite of your cold, you did just fine. And me, in spite of my kidney stone, you know, I hung in there. So it's okay.
Oh, my God. We're all just a bunch of old people that are dying sitting here right now, you know?
Well, that's, you know what we are, really? We are fodder for the next generation of paranormal investigators.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Imagine that.
Yep. And I'm hoping my son Theo will be one of them.
Oh, well, hopefully he'll be a grown-up before, you know, you'd start taking your dirt nap.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Next week,
thank you.
Come back, Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a good week.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.